in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello and welcome to episode 199 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well.
We're getting close to that big number. We still don't know what we're talking about next week, do we?
No, but it's champagne next week. Maybe we'll be talking about champagne.
We're talking about champagne. Prosecco?
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, we tried some apple secco at the weekend.
Okay. Yeah, any good?
It wasn't quite like cider and it wasn't quite like Prosecco. It was apple secco.
What was the verdict? Was it English apple
yeah,
secco?
Yeah, it was okay, but you didn't run around jumping around going, oh, wow, wow.
Mm.
You know, it was okay.
Okay, well, we've said it enough now, so we've got to do the boozy episode.
You know what I mean?
But yeah. I'll have to sleep over or something like that, or I could get a taxi home, couldn't I, or something, I guess. This is the Self-Help Podcast, episode 199. For all previous episodes and all the show notes and links from this show, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk. While you're there, keep an eye out for the link to our friends at Clear Mind Cushion. We did a show, 196, was it? 197, yeah. With Chris from Clear Mind, about meditation. And we are now, happy to, I'm very proud to be partnering up with them.
Yeah, and Ed and I have both been using the cushions for our meditation.
Yeah, it's a very, very comfy. The issue with my meditation is not the cushion, it's my mindset. I'm still trying to get it into my, force it into my habit.
When we get to the end of this podcast, there's things that we need to say that take you back to that very statement that you just made.
Yeah.
We'll make that connection at the end, because meditation is so important.
Okay, yeah, we will. I'm getting there with the meditation. I've missed a few days this week, I must admit. Quick question, do you have to meditate in the morning?
For me, it's better to do that, because if I do it, then I know that I haven't got to do it later in the day, and the day gets so busy, it can get eaten. Yeah? So I will either meditate here before I go into the hospital, or when I get into the hospital, I will stop and meditate before I start a clinic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I make sure that I always do at least half an hour in the morning.
Do you know anyone that meditates in a different pattern to that? I'm just trying to think.
Yeah. Lots of people
my crazy daily routine.
Well, lots of people do 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, but that involves more commitment. But for different people, it's different times of day. Some people say, no, I do it at lunchtime, or I do it when I get home, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yep, cool.
Or some people would do it before they leave work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just depends on how your life works. One of the problems is that the later you do it, the more likely you are to nod and maybe fall asleep.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that's fair enough. Okay, well, anyway, clearmindcushion.com if you are wanting some kind of cushion to kind of help you on your journey in terms of meditation, head over there and use the discount code SELFHELP, all one word. And you get a 10% discount, don't you?
Yeah.
Very nice.
One of the concepts in that is, like, why would you want to use a cushion? Because you can sit in a chair. But there's something about sitting in a cushion that gets you in the right frame of mind, but also it gets your body at the right angle. It's to do with the angle of your hips relative to your back.
It's been very well engineered by Chris, this cushion, so highly recommended.
When you go on meditation retreats, you see people building all kinds of structures to sit on to get their back in the right position.
Okay.
Whereas the cushion does it straight away, which is the good thing about the cushion.
Cool. Okay. Very good. We're talking about happiness this week because the World Happiness Report was out fairly recently. What was it? This week has it come out?
Yeah.
Cool. What?
I was going to say,
that's coming up, but in the meantime, how's your week been? Because it's been quite a week of news and events. And
there's been loads of stuff happening around here, isn't there? I mean, we had the whole issue about Parliament and our first apparent attack. I mean, people in security services have been saying for ages that we don't realise how many events they have actually stopped before they happened, and it's at least a dozen that I'm aware of.
Yeah, 13 I read since 2013.
And a lot of the security guys are saying it's because of the IRA, and the stuff that went on in Ireland, that our system is really good. We could be good at detecting stuff, which maybe other countries haven't been so skilled at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much fun. I mean, obviously seeing it, it's pretty horrendous. I mean, the stats on it are on terrorism in the UK are pretty amazing, really, since the 80s and 90s. It's just been coming steadily down and down, and this is the first major one. But even, I know it's horrendous what happened last week, but even if you judge it by what happened in the 7/7 bombings, it's not on that same kind of organisation.
I think one of the other things that's important, and I'd like to shout out to all those lovely Muslim women who did that wonderful...
Yeah.
Stand on the bridge, right along the length of the bridge, and I want to say thank you to them, because they were very clearly saying, you know, yes, we're Muslims, but these people do not represent who we are.
Yep.
And that's so important. You know, you've got Christian fundamentalists that are being right wing and fascist,
and
they are not representing the body of Christianity in the same way that these fascist terrorists are not representing the body of Islam.
Mm.
Yeah, and those women standing there in solidarity saying, we are Muslim, but we are British. Love that.
Yep.
It's great.
Really important. Some good has come out of it, I think. And then after that, the little old Wirral, little old Bebbington or New Ferry had its...
Yeah, we had a big explosion.
A mile from my house on a...
Yeah.
And everyone on the Wirral kind of texting each other at the same time. What was that? What was that? Actually,
yeah.
So there was a gas explosion a couple of nights ago, which you may have seen in the news. Luckily no one died, amazingly really, considering everyone on the Wirral felt it. And I had a pal in North Wales who overlooks the Wirral from the banks of the River Dee, and he heard and felt it against his window.
Wow.
Crackers.
Yeah, that's quite
So we was happily watching a movie, and this mad crazy noise against our patio windows behind the curtains. It sounded like someone had chucked a wheelie bin from the garden, and that's what initially I thought, blimey, someone's in the garden. Because, you know, we're back onto the woods. So kind of cautiously had a little peep out. But then I saw other lights popping on as well, and blimey.
There are people that were dancing in that studio, like young kids, just hours before, weren't there, before it went off, which is one of those, wow.
Yeah.
You know, lucky there was no one in there at the time.
But folks came together, and there's a little... The Life Church down the road opened its doors immediately and kind of took people in to...
Yeah.
There's quite a few people that are going to be homeless for a while because of it, structural reasons and what have you. But
yeah, sure.
Nice to see people getting together and looking after each other, hey?
Yeah. And we've had Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
We have indeed.
Which is so important.
Mothers?
Again.
What have they ever done? What have they done for
come
us?
Come on.
I'm only kidding.
It's attitude of gratitude stuff, isn't it? We had a great day here because... we had, obviously, Ree's mum, and she's obviously mum and grandmum. And we also had Auntie V, who I really want to get on this show. Auntie V is the most positive person I know, and she's 89, nearly 90.
Tell us your secrets, Auntie V.
We want to get on this show. She's just such an inspirational person, and she's so modest. She says, what could I do? What could I say on this show? But she would be astounding just to listen to her dedication to positivity. It's amazing.
They're the unsung heroes of this nation. Hey?
You're not kidding. She is amazing. So we need her on this show. Auntie V, I'm going to play you this episode and you need to come on the next.
Does she like Prosecco? Get her on next week.
That'd be good.
All right, we'll crack on. We're talking about happiness this week, aren't we? Because you sent me a link to, a bit of analysis from the World Happiness Report. Is that right?
Yeah, and there's a punchline in it that we'll get to at the end, which I really love. But it was talking about... in a way, it's saying, okay, you know, you lot crack on about happiness and all that kind of stuff. So what does it mean? What is it? And how can you tell whether people are happy just because they say so?
Mm.
So it touches into research that's been going on with brain scans and looking at genetics about happiness. And that was fascinating, just getting into that.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we'll have the link in there to go and read it.
Top of the charts this year, and the 1-2 flipped around this year, I think, but it's those Scandinavians, the swines, Norway. Norway at number one, Denmark at two.
Yeah.
I think the Finns were at number five.
Yeah.
I think Switzerland came in third, and Sweden at number nine.
Yeah.
So the Scandinavians, hey?
Well, they're all up in the top 10. And one of the things that's coming out in the research is that it's the genetics. And there's something in that kind of Viking genetics which leads to happiness. And they look at three examples if you go back and read the stuff. But one of the statements in the article was, it's the further you live away from Scandinavia is the less happy you're going to be.
Wow, okay. Yeah?
But what that actually means for the British, who are renowned for being perhaps not the most positive people on the planet.
16th we were.
16th, right?
Yeah.
But because we were invaded by the Vikings, and we have lots of Viking names. There was a Viking Parliament.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, yeah.
Yeah, Viking Parliament, like,
yeah,
10 miles away from here, yeah,
mm-hmm.
if that. Our genetic structure is so close to that of the Vikings that, in a way, the Brits have no excuse for being miserable. You know,
do we just underplay our happiness a little bit? Maybe even the Scandinavians do as well, because you don't see them as... You see them as content people, don't you? You don't see them as the type of the kind of running around the streets, kind of singing and dancing all the time.
But that's one of the things that we talk about, is what's the definition of happiness? Is it dancing in the street and going, ooh, wah, wah?
Yeah.
Or is it that there's a general feeling of well-being? That's the key.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got. And the article, that, like I said, we'll put the link up to, talks a lot about, well, how do you measure that? How can you measure that sense of well-being?
Yeah.
And so the tables you're describing, how they come up with those figures?
Well, yeah, we've got some bullet points here on how the report was kind of formulated and what they were looking for, the authors of it. And they've been doing it for a number of years. But so things like per capita income, life expectancy, people's freedom to make life decisions, generosity, social support on offer, and corruption in government and business.
I think one of the things that's important about that is the very first thing that you said, is the per capita income thing. Mm. That we in a situation where we will say things, well, like, money doesn't make you happy. And that's true. I mean, it doesn't make you happy. There is a point, though, that you need to feel safe, secure and comfortable at. You know that you can feed your kids. You know you can pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
When you get above that, it doesn't actually increase your happiness that much. But how many people are struggling each month to pay stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah? And you were talking about money and generosity, so I think you should tell your story that you told me earlier on, which is St. Edward doing his bit for the local community.
So I'll try to.
No, I think it's important, because it is that Good Samaritan generosity stuff.
Yeah, okay, so I was cycling back tonight from work, or this afternoon. I actually went home a little bit earlier than normal because I can, and because I wanted to cycle through a new ferry to see what the damage was from over the weekend with my own eyes and all that.
And was it bad?
It's pretty bad.
Was?
Yeah, I couldn't get too close still. There's police cordons and all sorts. But on my way home, I took a different route to usual because, again, I wasn't in a mad rush. And I came across in a little funny little back street that hardly any car will ever go down, but it's kind of part of the rural cycle route. And there was a figure lying on the floor, up against the wall and the pavement. So I thought, oh, bloody heck, here we go. I pulled up alongside him, and he had his hood right over his head and face, and it didn't actually look like he was breathing, to be honest. So I was like, oh, bloody heck. So I just said, hello, and nothing. And I kind of gave it a few seconds, and I said, hello, a bit louder, and still nothing. And I cycled on a little bit, stopped again, because I thought that second time I could see him breathing at least. I thought, at least he's alive. I thought, no, I can't just leave him there. Middle of nowhere, really, and it's the type of road we have, a car might not pass through again at all, so I better check him out. So I said, hello! And finally I got this kind of, nice. He kind of started to come to a little bit, and the homeless fellow had been asleep for a bit in a quiet area. He'd managed to find a quiet spot to get some kip, so thanks a lot, mate, you've woken me up. Yeah, he kind of woke up, and I just said, are you all right? You know, do you need some help? Do you need an ambulance? Because he looked a little bit, you know, worse for wear. He said, no, mate, I'm all right. I'm just trying to get some sleep. And I was like, oh. And he told me a bit of his story. He'd been homeless since Friday. And I said, okay, mate, I'll see you later. And I just kind of went on a little bit to get my bike, because I'd hopped off by then. And then I usually don't carry any cash on me. I just generally don't have any. But for this particular moment, I had a £20 note in my pocket because a client had paid cash for a job, and had a bit left, and I thought, oh, go on in, why not? So I kind of went, hang on, mate, here you go. So I gave him 20 quid. He was super grateful, you know, he's like, oh, he couldn't thank me enough, that was cool. And off I went on my way. So who knows what it'll be spent on and how much it will help him. But
if it makes him happy, then...
Yeah, you know, and yeah. I did feel pretty good about myself after it as well, you know, full disclosure. We're both winners from it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 20 quid down, but he needed it more than I did.
But maybe your £20 worth of heart and love has lifted you.
Maybe.
You know.
Maybe. So that's my little good deed for
that's
the day.
Simple.
And then off I went to kind of go up at a horrendous war-like scene down the road.
There's that idea about giving money, stuff, giving resources. My about-to-be daughter-in-law, I think, really, Hannah, her mum does this thing where she won't spend any 5p's. She collects all the 5p's, and the 5p's go off to help people in India. And so I thought I'd join in on that. So I've collected all my 5p's, and I got quite a big bag of 5p's. So I'm going to join in on that one and just keep all my 5p's.
Very good.
And send them off to
very good
support. Yeah.
But so yeah, no, it did say in the report as well that yeah, money helps to a point, you know, but there's a certain point where it can become a hindrance as well.
Yeah. So I mean, that idea about if we had more money, would we be content to just be as we are and have more money, or would we then be doing the, oh no, we need to get a bigger house now?
Yeah, well, I can see myself getting into that trap, inverted commas. So I guess it's a nice dilemma to have, isn't it? But a lot of people fall into that trap, don't they, where, you know, all of a sudden you kind of, you get a job in, a promotion or a new job, and you get paid more, whoopee-doo, everyone's happy for a minute, and then you're suddenly awash with all this new money, and what do? You kind of spend more, you've got bigger monthly outgoings, and all of a sudden you're back under pressure again to make that next little step. And you see it in, you've seen it in companies you've worked in where are promoted beyond
their ability.
Yeah.
And but then what happens is people get promoted on their ability, but they get promoted into a new wage band, and now they're terrified that they're going to lose the position that they're in, so the stress has become enormous. You know, so they end up bullying the people underneath them to make up for the fact that they can't do the job. And
yeah, so not only might you have more money that you're spending every month on a bigger house, better car, also you're going to work not enjoying it anymore, you know, because you're under that pressure at home and at work now, doing something that you're not perhaps cut out for or you didn't want to do in the first place. So
yeah,
that's my little tip is to, well, what I'm trying to aim for in life is to just keep, dial things back a little bit, I think.
Getting the balance right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, and being able to live in that kind of an economy that doesn't create pressure for you. Are you aware that Tesla are actually producing the tyres now? They're actually now...
Yeah, you can. I did read that yesterday. You can order them very shortly and they're going to be...
Which is amazing because they look like ordinary tyres, but you can be producing enough electricity to power your house... And to run your own car.
Yeah, I've just shut it down. I got an email from them on their mailing list about the new Powerwall, you know, the big battery that you stick in your garage. Basically, that ideally you either charge from your solar panels on your roof during the day and then use it at night, or you just, you bring in the energy from the grid when it's cheaper.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's cool, man. Yeah.
I love it. But that all feeds into this very thing that we're talking about what creates happiness.
Mm.
Yeah, and if we have got enough, you know, enough to feel comfortable, enough to be able to do what we need to do.
Yep.
Yeah, the idea about we stack loads of money in the bank to save for a rainy day. What do you want to save for a rainy day for? You need to save for a happy sunny day. You know what I mean? We have this kind of negative... thing.
Yeah.
And we need to be safe and secure.
We need to insurance of some kind, don't we? Yeah, in case you do hit the rocks.
But then the next bit, isn't it, is in that kind of hygge type happiness, is social, family, friends, and being part of a network. And maybe that's the biggest insurance anybody can have, is to be a part of a family that you know that will support you, you support each other.
Yeah, I think so. There's a kind of a counter article I'd read on The Guardian before even you'd sent me the text.
Yeah.
About someone from Norway, I think who must live over here now anyway, but basically saying that we're not as happy as you might think after reading this report, us Norwegians, or at least it's not the kind of happiness that you might be expecting, because you're saying that, you know, a lot of Norwegians are quite insular and almost repressed emotionally. But they have that fallback that they know that their families live nearby and that they can see them at least once a week.
But do you mean they're not expressing their happiness by running around the streets going, oh, what, what?
Yeah, yeah, he said we're not on the surface as... Or he was actually saying, I wish we had the type of happiness that you see in, like, Greek families or South America.
They smash the plates on the floor.
Where everyone's running around, yeah, going nuts, yeah, firing guns into the air. But, I mean, the report doesn't lie, really, but I don't know, there are different shades of happiness, aren't there?
Yeah, I think that what we're talking about here is well-being, as opposed to spiked kind of like, woo, happiness.
Yeah.
Which, from a brain point of view, we're talking about high levels of serotonin, which is well-being, as opposed to higher levels of dopamine, which is the woo.
Yeah. Some interesting little tidbits as well from the report. American happiness, the US, that is, has been on the decline since 2007, so over the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And in China, which has obviously had incredible economic growth for 20, 30 years, they've had no growth for 25 years in happiness levels.
At all.
I mean, we can pontificate on that for a bit on both countries, but in terms of China, for me, it would look... they're obviously, yeah, they're getting all this economic growth, but people are having to work, I don't know, a lot harder. There's a lot more pressure. There's kind of the race to the bottom in terms of who can do it, work hardest for the least amount of cash.
Yeah. There's also the issue of China is a very large place, and the amount of people that are on the rim that are making vast amounts of money compared to what they had before is actually quite a few.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily affect the people in the middle of the country.
No, and you hear, well, about all the cities that are getting built there, like one a month or something, crackers, and it's like 50 cities being built this year that are bigger than Liverpool or something, crackers, in terms of population. Well, that's it. But are people having to move away from home to the work from their families, and they're kind of family networks are breaking down? Could that be why? I don't know.
If you think about a community that develops as a village, that becomes a little town, that becomes a city, it grows over time and has an identity. Whereas if you build something, but like Milton Keynes, when they built the new town and everybody moved there, but there was no heart, there was no connection.
Yep.
People had no reason to be there other than they'd moved there, as opposed to having a history there.
Yeah.
You know, and most towns have a reason to be, like Sheffield makes knives, or did make knives and stuff.
Steelworks, yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but if you make a new town, it has no reason to be there other than it's a new town.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's a quote by Benjamin Franklin, which I got from the article that you initially sent, that says, happiness consists more in small conveniences of pleasure that occur every day than in great pieces of good fortune that happen but seldom. So, and that's sort of speaks a lot about what we've said in the show about how, in terms of goal setting, we can often set these big lofty targets that either we will hit, which is great, but it might take us 5 years of hard work, you know, and torture to get there, or that we won't hit, and we'll have kind of, I don't know, wasted wasted time on when we could have been down a dog and duck with our pals, having fun and just kind of, I don't know, yeah, enjoying ourselves.
But I think that feeds back to what you were talking about you cycling home, is that to stop and do something for another person in that moment gave that person something, gave you something. And that is something that we could be doing all the time, not suggesting you go around showing people £20 notes, but... But we could be doing things all the time that raise other people's happiness and our happiness. And it isn't the big things, it's the small things. And if we've got enough small things that make us overall feel better, then we achieve the big things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's when people try to achieve big things at the expense of the small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they lose that connectivity with their family and their friends because they're so focused on creating this, whatever it is. Yeah, the two things have to run together for me.
Mm. You Interesting. You got anything else buried down there in your notes?
Yeah. What I want to say is, one of the big things that comes out of the research is that there are genetic markers that do create a propensity for a more likeliness to be happy, that yep. kind of thing, right? And what we're talking about, the ability to maintain serotonin levels, which is this well-being thing. But the bit that came across to me, and it made me laugh when I read it, was that the thing that is shown over and over again, and it quotes some research by a Japanese university in Kyoto, that people that have higher levels of grey matter in their brain
mm-hmm.
are happier, yeah? Which means a thicker density of tissue around the amygdala.
Okay.
Yeah. And what is it that creates more brain tissue, more grey matter? What is it that makes it denser, thicker and richer? What is it?
Weetabix.
No! What is it?
It's meditation.
Yeah. And it's so provable that if you meditate, you get this change in brain structure. But alongside that is realising that with the change in brain structure, you get this happiness quotient. You get people that are calmer, that are less stressed. And that's the bit that is really important, is that if you're prepared to take the time out to meditate every day, it could just be 10 minutes, preferably it's 20 minutes or half an hour, but if you do that, it changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the way you feel, and guess what? It makes you happier.
Science.
Yeah.
It's science, yeah. Is happier the right word, or is...
You could use words like contentment, less stressed, more relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less pressured in having to do things, being able to calm down and speed up, being more efficient about who you are, but doing it with a smile on your face.
Yeah. See the
world.
That's
the key.
Just more clarity.
Now, that you see, if we had Auntie V on here, Auntie Vera, I'm going to get her on here if it kills me. she is 89, right? But she meditates every day. She's meditated every day forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she is one of the most happy, positive people that you could come across. She's got her own problems. She's had her own issues. She's got her own physical issues and health issues. But she is just so amazingly positive.
Yep.
Yeah, she's a real inspiration. She's amazing.
Mm. We'll get her on this show, hey?
Yeah.
Sooner or later.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good. I am good. I'm good and I am happy.
Yes. It's not just a show.
It's not a show. This is right through to the core.
I can tell.
Ree and I went to the zoo today and we had a fabulous day. And I have an odd thing with zoos. I love the fact that they are looking after species that are becoming extinct because the rest of humanity has wiped them off the face of the earth. I love that, but have deep concerns about holding sentient beings in captivity.
Yeah.
And looking at some primates, orangutans today, and some of them look really sad. They didn't look happy people, which bothered me a bit. You know, but Ree and I were saying today about how much we just love going and doing something together because we're both, obviously we both love each other, but we're both easy to be with. And my happiest times are when we go on holiday and do stuff together, when we're just together. And being today in the zoo was like that. It was amazing.
Oh, very good.
Yeah? And that is real kind of hygge happiness. That's good.
That's cool. Yeah, because you can't always tell with folks, can you? I recently learned about someone connected to me quite closely, another person, I don't want to say the name just in case, but another person they know has got serious concerns about them because unbeknownst to everyone else in the world that knows them, they're struggling with depression. Not crazy bad yet, but it could get a lot worse, obviously. Yeah. And I saw this person but a few weeks ago and... Great life, everything seems happy and rosy, it's all good, but you know, the light's not on, and there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
So yeah, just keep an eye on your friends and family, hey, because you're quite a...
Important to look after each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, look after each other.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, have you got a resource of the week?
Yeah, yeah. There's Action for Happiness. I've started doing Action for Happiness courses. And so this is a shout out to local people. I'm sure they're doing them all over the country. But they're actually doing an Action for Happiness course in Birkenhead.
Oh, cool.
So I'll put the link up for it.
Brilliant.
And worth doing. It's an 8-week program. And it gets you to look at your life, adjust things a bit, and get happy.
That's highly relevant. All right.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have a close look at that. Okay, cool. I forgot to find one, so I'm just going to link to the report, the PDF, the World Happiness Report.
We'll settle for that.
Which is quite a link.
Are you happy with that?
I'm very happy with that.
That's good. That's right.
Don't worry about me.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a lengthy report. There's a short version, but some fascinating stuff in there that I think we haven't even scratched the surface of it, really.
No.
Okay, right. Another quick mention to Clear Mind Cushion. Clearmindcushion.com. Head over there and you can get a 10% discount if you use the code SELFHELP, all one word. Dead obvious way you need to put it in. Check it out. Highly recommended by Sean and I.
Yeah.
Really cool. And we'll be back next week for episode 200.
Yeah, 200. Wow.
A Prosecco episode. Should be fun.
Prosecco or champagne, what do you think?
Yeah, what have you got in the fridge?
So we've got Carl.
Ree's usually got some champagne on somewhere around here.
We have something that fizzes around here.
Yeah, celebration indeed. It's been good fun.
Yeah.
Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for all the show notes and links, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well if you fancy it. And that's it, Sean.
Take care.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.